Hello, everybody, and welcome. It's episode 108 of Bucks UK TV. Gary and David and myself, Kieran, are here today. And the Bills, Gary, where did it all go wrong?
Oh dear. Well, I'd like to blame the referees for not calling the pass interference on the Hail Mary. I think if they'd have called that right, then we'd have definitely won. The fact that we couldn't run the ball, couldn't throw the ball, couldn't stop them throwing the ball, and couldn't stop them running the ball, that's irrelevant. Let's blame the referees.
I think that's a very balanced take, David. It definitely did look like interference on that last play, but like as Gary says, one play does not make a game.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been, if we'd have won that, that would have been a ridiculous victory. I mean, I don't think, we ever came close to deserving it. And, well, I just think that's where Buccaneers are. I think, we were looking that this was going to be a tough season. We got carried a little bit away, first by the players we were able to keep, and then starting off 3-1. I think we all got a bit excited. But reality, I think our pre-season predictions all had this down as a loss. All right, we managed somehow to hold it to 6 points, but in reality, this was never going to be one that we really fancied ourselves for. So.
So, I mean, last time I talked about the barometer of where the Bucks are. As you say, if the Bucks had driven down at the end and scored, it's a win for the Bucks. So we kept it down to the wire. So where do you think, where are the Bucks this year? At the beginning of the year, we said it was, as you say, we said it was a rebuild. Then we kind of all got a bit excited when we strung a few wins together. And now we've had, a couple of losses. I guess, where do you think we're going to be come the end of the season? So this is halfway through the regular season. Does that mean we've got half the number of games left, or can we still expect something of a postseason?
I mean, when I was on a couple of weeks ago, and the expression I used was mid-table mediocrity, to use a footballing expression in this country, and that's where we are. We've beaten some teams that, quite frankly, we really should be beating. The Bears, for example. We lost to the teams that everybody knew we were going to lose to: the Eagles, the Lions, the Bills. I think the game this coming week is a good barometer, because they're a team very much like us, I think. But I think the one thing that everybody is forgetting about this season is this is the pay the credit card bill season. At best part of 80 million on players that are not on the team. That situation goes away next year. So, all we can do is hope to hang in there, string a few wins together, hope that Atlanta and New Orleans continue to lose, and we can just sneak the division. If we can do that, then we get a playoff game. Happy days.
So let's see what we think about sneaking the division. We'll come back. We'll have a look at the Bills game. We'll go take our usual offense, defense, special teams look. So, Gary, stick with you then. On offense, kind of what did you think worked? What did you think didn't work?
Well, what didn't work is, you won't be surprised to hear me say, the running game. We haven't got one. I think it was slightly better. I know Rick Stroud on his podcast was speculating that might have been Aaron Stinney in for Matt Filer, might have made a difference. So it'd be interesting to see where they go with that. The passing game worked generally. But I was really concerned with the amount of pressure that the Bills got just rushing four. So our O-line didn't have a good day at all. What else can you say?
So stick with the line there, David. As Gary said, it felt like the run blocking improved, but maybe the pass blocking took a step back. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 or 3 weeks we've seen the running, I would say, slightly improving. We were sort of not making any positive gains. Then we were starting making 1, then 2 yards, and we had 3 or 4. And we made a few sort of around the 10 yards. Typical Bucks again. As soon as we do break one, we get a flag on it. So
We're
there's
looking at you,
glimmers of hope
Palmer.
there, but they're still very like glimmers at the minute. And again, I still think, this is an offense that is still in an element of learning. I mean, you see some of the plays. Sometimes I think, Baker's trying to push it a bit too hard. He seems to be missing open receivers at times out there, really probably where he's trying to get it too deep and not taking the yardage. And again, just some of our receiving play is we're just not getting past the sticks before we sort of pass the ball. We're not giving ourselves a chance. All this wrapped in, of course, is we've got, you know, Dave Gnarly's first time as a offensive coordinator, first time calling the plays. He's really, you can see it now, learning on the job. And I think we just accept, look, this is a development year. And we see where we go. Let's not get crazy. We're damn lucky that the whole NFC South is pretty average against the thing. And, you know, there's always a chance that we're going to sneak a playoff berth. And that's not because of us being particularly special. That's because everybody is mediocre. So I think we just, you know, we just keep going. And we use this as a learning season at the minute.
Just picking up on that one point you made there, Dave, the penalties, the thing about the penalties was they were at key times.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Evans' 40-odd-yard reception called back. You know, a first and we make a first down and first and 10, we make it, but there's a penalty. You know, it's key times. The other thing I wanted to say about the offense was the one decent drive we had right at the end of the game took about 4 hours to complete. It was just ridiculous. I know we have got a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive scheme, and he's learning on the job, but he needs to learn a bit quicker for my...
The clock management, I think, was really poor. There's like, there was a play where White didn't get out of bounds where I thought he should have done, where I thought we should have called a timeout before the two-minute warning, and we didn't. We let it run down. We could have, if we'd needed to, we could have easily have managed to get three or four plays more on that drive. And that goes from becoming a very long Hail Mary to becoming something where you've maybe got a few more options, maybe, because that could give you 15 yards further down the field, I think. But I thought, I mean, that pass at the end, I was really pleased with Baker. I thought he did. It was a very Aaron Rodgers-esque sort of hoist into the, you know, to where it needed to be. I thought Baker Mayfield had a reasonable day at the office. Now, I know what you said, David, about the couple of misses, and I think it was, I mentioned Palmer earlier. Certainly Palmer was kind of on the way of a couple of errant passes, and I think it's probably Cade Otton, I think, was probably on the other end of a couple of errant passes. Gary, I mean, kind of, Baker Mayfield, I think he's what we expected him to be now. We've had the highs, we've had the lows, and now I think we've got a Trent Dilfer-esque game manager.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's not the reason that we are losing. Yes, he's missing the odd throw, but look how many plays he's made with his legs.
Yeah,
and that's what the one thing that we've been sadly missing. Yeah. I mean, just for years and years and years and years. So he isn't the reason we're losing. It's everything else.
Yeah, and I don't think you can fault his heart. He definitely is out there trying to succeed. So I think there's still upside on him. Yeah. And I think, you know, this is still for him to prove himself. It's a very deep quarterback draft, apparently, next year. But, you know, I'm not sure that ultimately that's one of the positions we need to be focusing on at the minute. You know, who knows what happens with Mike Evans next season. And, you know, more depth in receivers. We need some receivers that can hold the ball.
Yeah, good call. Okay, so let's switch to the other side of the ball then. Because, yes, the Bucks lost, but again, they only allowed 24 points against a team which I think at the beginning of the year, a lot of people were saying this was a team that was favoured to at least reach the big game, if not walk away with it. I think for the first time in Bills history, they've kind of always been the bridesmaids, never quite managed to get hitched. Gary, kind of on the defence, again, it felt like there were some bright spots, some challenging areas. What did you think?
Yeah, I think if you factor in the fact that they were against one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, I mean, Josh Allen knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He's right up there at the top echelons. It's very much as we've discussed numerous times before, this bend, don't break. And I've got a stat for you. I want to quote for you in just a minute. But I take the point that they are playing well. They're not allowing the other teams to score a lot of points. So there is that caveat. But I'm always banging on about how we allow the receivers to catch the ball. You know, why are we not contesting the catch? I've got a stat for you now. I went back this afternoon and watched the game deliberately and counted how many times Bill's receiver caught the ball and there wasn't a Buck defender within a yard of him. Okay. Josh Allen completed 31 passes in that game. 22 of them were caught by a receiver with a Buck secondary player, defensive player, nowhere near him. When I looked at our offense, seven such passes of the 25 that Baker completed. So what that's telling me is that teams have worked out Todd Bowles' defense.
They know where.
I mean, it's very zonal, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
It's every week, it seems to me. But 22 of 31, when the receiver caught the ball, there wasn't a Buck defender in the same postcode. But, you know, that's...
I think Todd Bowles in the press conferences has said how he's disappointed with the way that we're playing zone, as you said, David. Interestingly, looking at the game book, the Bucks had 6 passes defended, which is the worst named statistic ever. And they used to call them, you know, batted down or completed or something. But whatever it was, you know, we had the Bills had 8 of them. We had 6 of them. So they had more still. But that's quite a high tally for the Bucks. So even with a potentially good day at the office. While we're talking about the pass defense, though, we have to give everyone's favorite long-term lineman a shout out, Will Golston, for managing to snag an interception. That was good to see, wasn't it?
I loved it. Yeah. Will Golston is just the nicest bloke you'll ever wish to meet. And I absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. And talking of linemen, can I now make the statement that Joe Tryon Shoyinka will not have his 5th-year option picked up? That's my take on it. And Logan Hall, another complete waste of a draft pick. You know, they went the whole game. Again, I watched the game this afternoon. They went the whole game. The commentators didn't mention their names once during the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Tryon got two combo tackles, which if you're being sorry, 2 combined tackles, 2 solo tackles. Logan Hall, I don't think, hit the playbook at all. Yeah, so I mean, JTS, David, is it right to call him a bust at this point?
Well, it is at the minute. I mean, every time we keep saying he's a regular feature, when is he going to actually make it? And he doesn't. It's just so frustrating, isn't it? He's got all the speed and everything there to do it, and the reach and everything, but just not getting home, is he? And that's what he's paid to do.
I think one of the low lights for me on defense, and there's been probably a lot of social media flack, is Devin White. So I think in years gone by, we've said, you know, maybe he's over aggressive, maybe he pursues, and we know about the drop off when David and White together are a fantastic combination. When David comes out for whatever reason, White seems to struggle. And yeah, perhaps a bit more of a liability in coverage. But I don't know. I feel like, for me, Devin seems to be playing at a lower level than we expect. Now, I don't know. I could be charitable and say, that actually, is that Devin White's fault? Often, players of that calibre stop playing their own game when the defence isn't performing around them and try and start worrying about everyone else's job. And I suspect you can probably see a drop-off in the performance then. But okay, it'll be interesting to hear your 2 take on... what you think of Devin White this year so far?
Well, he's in a contract year, isn't he? So, you know, you would figure that he should be, you know, really going bonkers on the field, you know, absolutely covering every blade of grass, tackling everything that moves, snagging interceptions, you name it. He's publicly said he wants $20 million a year. There's not a team in the NFL going to give him $20 million a year based on his performance this year. He does the odd play, the odd good tackle. He's got all the physical attributes you want in a linebacker. But, you know, he's since the end of the 2020 season, when he was brilliant, quite frankly, he's done nothing.
And again, I think after the Super Bowl season, you know, Todd Bowles was saying there's a lot of players that have taken their foot off the pedal now. Is he one of those that was that comment was being aimed at? You sort of get the feeling it is a bit.
And I guess, as you mentioned earlier, David and Gary, is, you know, in terms of Mike Evans' contract coming up, this is the year where we're paying back all the money. We can't afford to bring both back, probably, can we, if they're both minded to take the money? So that'd be interesting to see what pans out.
Yeah, we've got about $60 million, I think, under the cap as of next year. But you've got, you know, Winfield you need to pay. You've got Worse there, the priorities.
Yeah.
Evans wants his $25 million. White. And we haven't got a quarterback. So, you know, but the good news is the Saints are $80 million over the cap now.
I mean, they were in hell going into this season, and at least we've got a Lombardi to show for it. I think of all of those names you mentioned, though, for me, Wirfs would have to be the first one down on the checkbook.
Well, you saw what happened when he got banged up in this game, didn't he? And you saw what happened. He was giving up sacks and pressures as a result. So you know, we need him 100% and motivated, and he's the left tackle for the next 10 years, hopefully.
And David, so you mentioned Winfield next up.
Yeah, he's made some huge plays. He's definitely the man at the minute, isn't he? It's worrying that, you know, the players around him in that secondary still seem to really struggle. We just don't seem to get there, do we?
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of pressure on, was it Ryan Neal, I think, was the one who's under a lot of pressure.
I mean, I was out in the States, obviously, for the last week, so Ryan Neal was getting slaughtered by the media. Yeah, he's definitely a lot of flavour of the month out there at the moment.
Yeah, interesting. The passes defense, Kieran, six of them, but zero interceptions.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about Mike Evans? Money, yeah. He's dropped a few and he's not been targeted a lot. And
I think a lot of defenses are prioritizing him and wanting, you know, they know they can't take him and Godwin out of the game. So I think they're taking Mike out, which is leaving Chris Godwin, I think, free. I think at the moment, Godwin's stats are probably elevated above Mike Evans's, but I'm not sure that. I think they're both still wide receiver ones. I think Mike potentially is a bit slower now, but you don't have to be. When he got his height, his skills, his wiliness, his ability to get open, I don't think you necessarily need that burning speed, but it may come back to haunt him, perhaps.
Yeah, he's not Tyreek Hill in terms of speed. But did you see how quick he moved across the field for that touchdown catch?
Yes.
You know, 6'5", he's got whacking great long stride. So when he gets going, you know, he's going to be, there aren't going to be many that keep up with him. And he makes ridiculous catches. I mean, that one hit the helmet of the defender, didn't it?
Yeah.
He was draped all over him anyway, and he still caught it. So.
And what a catch by Godwin as well. I mean, that was fed into an eye of need.
Yeah, good concentration, good focus. But like you say, we need that from Palmer, from Edmonds, from K. Dotton, and some of the others as well, it feels like. So, finally on our whistle stop show, let's stop by special teams. Potentially not a lot to say on special teams, insofar as there wasn't a lot of punt returning going on. But kickoffs, it feels like Tompkins finally managed to get some consistency going. I think it was a 26-yarder and was 18, 20, something like that, which you'd normally take on a kick. The Bills were very good, I thought, at dropping it inside the five so that we had to return it. And I think he did he broke off to the right, and one of them he ran up the middle, which we know, Gary, you're desperately always to go down the sideline. So.
Absolutely. He had a big one up the sideline in the game the week before as well, but I wasn't on the podcast that week to eulogise about it. their special teams, I mean, our special teams were fine, but theirs were better. The punter had a hell of a day, didn't he? Had a career day, dropping it, you know, on the 1 yard line, it seemed to me, every time. And that was one of the problems that we had in the game generally. Our field position, our starting field position, was woeful compared to theirs.
Yeah.
We did have a kick blocked again, but, you know, that's the second one in the seven games they've played. So I hope that doesn't you know, snowball, to use the expression that Todd Bowles used this week. But, you know, special teams, you can't fault them.
I think in the modern NFL, I know I'm going to say this because people will always make plays and will get a block, will get a, someone will come free. But there is no excuse for a kick block in the modern NFL. You really should be able to get that punt off or that kick away, given, you know, the elevation of the kick or the speed at which the punt comes back. It generally speaking, dare I say, it's a fault by the kicking team more than it is a good achievement by the defensive team. Unless you've got that sort of freakish jumping over the centre type thing. But I mean, yeah, so you're right. Yeah, the Bills punter, he had four punts, three of which were inside the 20, which made his yardage deceptively short. Kamara still had more, about 6 yards average more than him. But again, the net, he's kicking at 51 yards average, and net return after is 39 yards. So that each time they're running it back at least 11 yards, which is just, again, anything over 5 or 6 in the modern NFL is not good.
Yeah, tackling, again, is another big issue and seems to be getting worse with this team. Not just special teams, but defence as well. It was another horrible game for tackling again this week.
But rather than horrible things, we want nice things, which is a good segue into this week's Bucks UK member competition. For those of you that are members that join on the forum, every week we have a one-off prize competition for prizes, plural. As well as that, Gary is very good at running our long-running eliminator, pick a winner, pick a loser competitions. There's the fantasy stuff, which has got trophies underway. But this week's competition was about guessing the Bucks' time of possession. And for the first time this season, we've had a tie. There were two members, each of them 1 second away, one slightly higher, one slightly lower. The Bucks had 28 minutes and 3 seconds of possession, which means we have a Wheel of Names scenario. So let me just share the screen. So Lynn Casey and Jill Ferrier, one of you is going to be walking away with a very good selection of Bucks UK goodies, including the Money Can't Buy very coveted drinks carved drinks coaster this year. Good luck to you both. Gary and David are my witnesses. This is all legit, done live. We'll see who's going to be the winner. 50-50 throwback colours. And I think it's Jill. Congratulations to you, Jill. You need to get in touch on the forum to let us know the T-shirt size that you want, and then we will get your prizes out to you. Which is probably brings us to a natural close. Let's end on a high with some prizes going out the door. We'll forget all about the Bills and come and join us in a couple of days' time to talk about the Texans, where we will preview the next game. So, Gary and David, thank you very much. Thank you guys at home for watching. As ever, give us a comment. Let us know what you thought about the game. I've checked out on YouTube now. The like and the subscribe buttons are very animated and very sexy. So if you want to see those, make sure you stab those as well. And we will see you next time. Until then, go Bucks!
Go Bucks!